Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Friday night with nothing to lose, right? Right? I mean, if you're not out in a bar somewhere or a pub or, you know, having some sort of real social life, you are sitting here with nothing to lose listening to us with another great show, another great show. We have a great show here tonight, and wow, our featured guest is going to be Mr. Michael Rothenberg, who is the mastermind behind the 100,000 Poets for Change, and we will get to that very shortly here. But, yeah, in the meantime, I'm going to bring on my co-host here, Mr. Michael D. Gosinski. Mr. Michael D. Gosinski, are you present?
Hola, senor.
Hola. Oh, good to hear your voice. Good to hear your voice. Wow. Well, yeah, you chimed in last week, last second, unexpected, and I was kind of like, wow, okay. Camping trip got a little short in there, huh?
Yes, it did.
But, all right, so what's your assessment of camping, I mean, at this point?
Well, you know, it's nice to be home and have, you know, hot water and showers and all that good stuff.
Hot water and what? What else? What else? A running toilet and
yes, and
a microwave.
A running toilet. Yes, you know, running toilet. It's not just piling up in the outhouse, you know.
Right.
Mount Vesuvius, you know. So, but yeah, microwave, we got all the finer things in life, a refrigerator, you're not living with ice, you know, so.
Right. Yeah, hey, so. I think, you know what, other special, super awesome co-host, Dr. Quinn might be here. I know she's busy doing, like, high school football reporting, but Dr. Quinn, are you there?
I am here, gentlemen, and I am actually not doing...
There is the Dr. Quinn, high school football reporter extraordinaire.
I'm actually not. I am now in knee deep in beer and crafts with some small press royalty here. I've got one Serena Blast is over here.
Oh, really? Okay.
Is here. And then I have Mr. Ed Standish.
Oh, Ed Standish, a.k.a. Timmy.
Richie.
Timmy Murray.
Ed and
Timmy.
Jeremy. And I don't know. Who are you today?
Who are you today?
Okay, Mr. Murray. Mr. Tim Murphy.
Mr. Murray.
I called him, because I'm like, man, am I a dumbass. So anyway.
Mr. Murray,
Mr.
Murray, like you use a middle initial too, or what? I mean, it's...
I don't know, Tim. You don't use your middle initial.
No.
No.
If we're going to address him as Mr. Murray, like he's royalty, you know.
Oh, well, he is royalty, but, you know. So anyway, yeah, we are doing things for Blotterature and making
things.
Oh,
okay. Okay, speak of Blotterature, just give us a quick plug here. Since you guys are all there together having some sort of little special party, just give us a quick plug for Blotterature and let everybody know what's going on with that.
Well, how about I turn it over to Julie's
yes.
Like, no!
Yes,
come on, Julie, come on.
No, give it to Tim.
Tim, would you like to talk? Tim,
okay, you know what?
Blotterer.
You know what? How about you all just stand up right now? It's time for the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, I mean, yeah. Fuck all this, like, who's going to talk shit? It's time for the Pledge of Allegiance. Everyone, remove your hats. Stand up. And Dr.
Wow.
Quinn, Dr. Quinn, kindly remove your hairpiece, okay? Kindly remove your hairpiece. And we are going to go forward here, do the Pledge of Allegiance, because we are all patriots here. We're all patriots, right? Right on. We are patriots, so we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance. Then we're going to move forward. Quiet.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That's an all-nighter.
Put it on the rocks.
Hey, you guys, you know what? That's very, I could tell some of you did not remove your hats or hair pieces, and you were talking during the Pledge of Allegiance. You know what? You guys are not patriots. Wow. I guess you guys are all, yeah. So anyhow.
If you want to talk about patriotism, I'll take you a little lesson on patriotism if you like.
To whom are we speaking right now? I'd like to know.
We wanted to talk about blotterature.
Okay, you want to talk about... All right, give us a little blotterature plug here.
Blotterature is a online, quarterly possibly, publication.
Right.
Submissions are open right now till November 1st at midnight. You can submit at blotterature@gmail.com. We are seeking submissions in the categories of creative nonfiction, short stories, flash fiction, hopefully no more poetry. Yeah, artwork, if you draw little pictures or...
Yeah, we have an
editor.
Okay, if you draw little pictures, what if you're just really crappy with, I don't know, what do they call that? You know, Frank Reardon is really good with something, what's it called? He, like...
Masturbate?
Photoshop. He's good at Photoshop.
Yeah, Photoshop. So what are you guys really looking for as far as art? I mean, seriously, art, you say art, I mean, what?
No. See, don't go sending me some, don't go sending me some big oil painting in the mail. We're talking about something that we can just some type of damn graphic that we can put in this thing to give it a little bit of color because the poetry fits in that dimension.
So this is primarily an online magazine,
sir,
or what?
Are you guys
going to go into print?
It will be available online. Let me finish my thought.
Yeah.
All right, finish your thought there.
I'm being very rudely interrupted every time I attempt to answer you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on here to plug my, so let me say my piece, and please back off the mic a little bit. But anyhow, I was so rudely interrupted. It's going to be available online, yes. As, you know, the PDF type of thing that you can scroll through or turn the page, whatever you like to do. But hopefully in the future it'll become a print, sometimes print publication, if you will. And
Yeah,
and we're doing scratch-off tickets right now.
Scratch-off tickets to help finance the whole...
Yeah, we're going to help fund this thing, and we're going to take this to the top, my friend. Oh, I got three... Yeah, I got three smiley... I've got three donkeys in a row.
Three donkeys in a row. That sounds pretty lucky, man.
We just won $5.
Yeah, you know what? Next time you blood our chirp, folks, you got to be a little more respectful during the Pledge of Allegiance. All right? That's all I got to say.
This group is more than happy to be patriotic. I stood up, removed my hat, had my hand over my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I came to tears. I had mist in my eyes at the end of the pledge, and these three women here... Well, disrespectful, unruly, and I did contact the NSA.
You're right. Mm-hmm. NSA, yeah, especially you know, regarding Dr. Quinn. I mean, yeah.
Oh, it's just
You blood archer folks, I tell you. All right, well, it's going to be fun to have you guys here on tonight. and I know you guys are having a little blood archer party, but... Yeah, we are moving on. And you know what? You know what? Tonight, our featured guest is none other than Michael Rothenberg. And we're going to have him on here very shortly. But, you know,
Yeah,
he's our featured guest. And this guy, he's phenomenal. He's phenomenal. He has so much going on, and it's amazing. And I'm so happy and proud that we have him on here tonight. I mean, he's the mastermind, you know, behind the whole 100,000 Poets for Change and everything. And on top of that, he has so many other things going on, too. I mean, he seems to be a very diverse and multi-talented person. So, yeah.
Hey, Pinta.
You know what? You guys, I'm going to have to cut off the blotcher people if you guys can't just keep your shit down.
Okay, I'll put
I know you're all having fun getting drunk,
okay,
but I can hear like blah, 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 blah.
I'll put us on mute for now, baby.
Yeah, you best do that.
All right, hold on.
Wow, okay. Yeah, that was the Blood Archer posse. They have, as you heard, they have a some fun stuff coming up here, and a call for submissions, et cetera, et cetera. And apparently there's a whole bunch of them having a special party tonight. And that's wonderful. But, you know, hey, Mr. Gasinski, good Lord,
yes.
You there?
Yes, it's not as rowdy over here on my side.
I didn't foresee this whole Blotter log or blog or whatever posse.
Yeah.
What
I was going to say, you'll take note, the regardless of authority people did the Pledge of Allegiance with pride.
I know you removed your hat and you stroked your beard a little bit before you...
Yes, we're not one of those commie publications.
Yeah, the commie publications.
While I brought it up, I got to say, regardless of authority, submissions are open. Next issue is October 1st.
Okay. You say regardless of authority, yet...
Yeah.
Not a commie publication. Hmm.
No.
All right.
A
well, you know what?
Protest, rather peaceful. We're like the Gandhi of zines.
The Gandhi of zines. Wow. Okay. Woo. I bet our special guest here, Michael Rothenberg, probably thinks these guys are crazy. Gandhi of zines and all this and that. Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
I'm excited. Oh, this,
I'm
this
excited.
Guy
this guy has
awesome.
So much going on. He really does. I mean, wow. I'm just blown away. And, you know, it's going to be so much fun picking his mind and getting him on here and hearing everything about it. So we are going to bring him on, Mr. Michael Rothenberg. Michael Rothenberg, buddy, you are going live. Are you ready for this? Are you prepped?
I'm ready.
Michael.
I don't know if I'm ready.
I might.
We'll know if I'm ready later.
What do you prefer to be called? Do you mind if I call you Mike or Rothenberg?
Michael. No, don't do Michael. Mr. Rothenberg. That's kind of strange for me. Call me Mike.
Hey, welcome. Welcome. I am truly honored to have you on here tonight, man. Honestly. Our show is a little crazy. but, yeah. Wow. I mean, you're a poet, songwriter, editor, and all this stuff, and you are the mastermind of this 100,000 Poets for Change. I mean...
I'm the co-mastermind.
Co-mastermind. Okay. Please elaborate. Well, first of all... Okay, first of all, I would like to know... Mr. Michael Rothenberg.
Yes.
I would like to know... how this whole 100,000 Poets for Change event even came to fruition. I mean, this is it's huge. It's not just a national thing. It's international. It's worldwide, and it's really huge. And when and how did this even come about? I mean,
in March 2011,
uh-huh.
I posted a statement on Facebook. Asking people around the world, I had Facebook friends all over, you know, from all over the world, and so I posted this. And it created, to begin with, I was talking to a friend mm-hmm. in the chat, saying that I was kind of disgusted with what was going on around the world,
uh-huh.
and with Fukushima and wars in Afghanistan, and Iraq, and the Gulf. Oil disaster and the whole deal, everything, the economy, it was a mess. And so I was, all these years I've been active as a environmentalist, and
uh-huh.
I've always been active as a poet, and I just felt really like everything had gotten to be static, and no one was speaking up, and nothing was happening, and poets were sort of just, they just didn't have any fire. They weren't engaged. And so I said there ought to be 100,000 Poets for Change. And this friend said, well, that'd be a good idea. So I said, okay, I doubt it, but let's see. So I went and created a Facebook event page. And I said, I posted that, do you want to join other poets around the USA and across the planet in a demonstration celebration of poetry to promote serious social and political change. And so let me know. So I started to hear from people almost immediately. I invited all my Facebook friends and people were writing me and going, I'll do something. When is it? And I hadn't even decided when we would do it. I think I set a date, like 6 month period that we would figure it out. By the end of, a week, I had, 10 or 20 people around the world in 10 different countries who were willing to do something. And I'm going to Terry, my partner, and saying, look, this is kind of amazing, 20 people who really want to do something simultaneously who care. Because I couldn't get anybody to do anything together. And so she was kind of, well, that's interesting, but really. And I have to admit, when I put out this call, it was kind of a putting out the gauntlet. I didn't really It was kind of my way of saying, I know you're not going to want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of disappointed. I'm very disappointed, and I'm pissed off, and I'm tired, and, you know, this will just be the last time I ask already. I mean, I didn't say that. I didn't put that out, but that's where I was. And then I, you know, a week later, I have 30 people in 20 countries, and I'm going, Terry, this is really getting amazing. And it just kept on going and going and going. So by September, there was 700 events in 95 countries.
Wow.
People from where? 25 events in Mexico, 25 in India. There were events in the United Arab Emirates. They were in, you know, Zimbabwe and Ghana and China and Reunion and Jamaica. I mean, it was incredible.
Wow.
And people were writing me and saying, I will do it, and I want to do it, and what a great idea. And the counter on the event page, invitations, was winding up, and I don't know, there were 18,000 invitations. I thought that was a lot, but I mean, right now we have something like 40,000 invitations that have gone out for this year. So we did last year, I mean, these are people inviting people, so it kind of went viral. So sometime by mid-2011, Stanford University contacted us, and they heard that what we were doing, and they thought it was pretty incredible, and they felt it was historic, and that they offered to archive any of the materials that we posted on our website. So we created this website, and it gave each of the organizers a place, their own event page, a blog page, where they could post their poster and photos and all about what their event was like and where it would be and notifications, and and a place to put their thoughts and visions and share them, and that Stanford would save. And it would always become a part of the story of what 100,000 Poets for Change was about, because it reflected the people around the world who actually made it happen, because that's what it was. And so then we had that one statement, and then after a couple of weeks, we added to only two other statements. One was, what kind of change are we talking about? And the other statement was, what do you mean by organizing? What kind of change are we talking about? I pointed at first the fact that we're isolated and we don't talk to each other. Like, I'm talking to you, right? I've never knew you before, and I probably would never have known if it wasn't for 100,000 Poets for Change. And so,
right,
as strange as you might be and the rest of your friends, I'm glad about it. I'm happy to know you. So we're talking, and so that I felt that there was a problem, that the communication channels that weren't available to most people. They were, if you were a university professor or you had lots of money and you could travel, you might be able to hook up with some poets elsewhere. But for most of us, we are isolated from poets and artists around the world, and or even in the same town. And so this Facebook and other social media allowed it to happen. So the next thing we created a kind of guideline that it's about peace and sustainability, that we're not telling you what you have to care about. Like, you need to have a position on the war. You need to have a position on you can have whatever position you want, as long as it's peace and sustainability. It's not, it can't be pro war or pro genocide or pro racism, because that's just not where we're at. And what, so the only limit was peace and sustainability. The rest is up to you, where you want to take it. And as far as what do we mean by organizing, we meant a poetry reading, a demonstration, a parade, whatever you wanted to do, a barbecue, potluck, a four-day festival, whatever you wanted to do. What's your subject? You could pick it yourself. You want it to be a fundraiser. You want it to be just plain old reading, or you know, however you locally, wherever you are, whatever you think is important based on what you know about your community and your community needs. What do I, who am I to tell you what you should care about? So, and we have people telling us that all the time. So the thing is that, so we would decide as a community that we would agree that peace and sustainability would be guiding principles and the rest would be local. And that was it. Peace and sustainability. You create your own event, send me the stuff, I'll archive it for you. We'll share it around Facebook, get to know each other. You get to know me, I'll introduce you to the guy in Nigeria. The guy in Nigeria will introduce you to the guy in Morocco. Whatever you want, it's open source. So,
well, see,
and now we're on our third year.
And that's amazing. I remember, I mean, I first heard about the 100,000 poets for change thing. I mean, I went to my first event. It was in fall of 2011 in Elyria, Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
it's,
so
is that,
this is only the, this is just the third year?
And, yeah.
So
yeah.
That was the first year, actually, of the...
That was, 2011. That was the first year.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was... so how was it?
It was awesome. I mean, I got to hang out with a lot of fun people. We had a great time, and I actually got to hang out live in person with my co-host here, Mr. Michael DeGasinski.
Yes.
Remember that?
That's where I first, you know, met you in person there.
In person, yeah. We've been friends for like a long time prior to that, and we both got to meet live in person at that event. And
yeah, that's where I met my fiance for the first time live in person, you know?
Exactly. And this guy's, my co-host here, Mr. Michael DeGasinski, is
Michael.
Engaged to the woman that he met for the first time live in person at...
That's incredible. That's incredible. See, what was going on is, here we're sitting here, right? We live in the Redwoods, out in the woods. We live in the woods. And I'm getting letters and videos from people in Jamaica, YouTube, saying hi, you know, hello videos, and telling why what they need is around the world. We're sitting here in the woods crying, right, because we're meeting people. And I'm hearing this story about meeting people that matter to you in a situation that because of something like 100,000 Poets for Change brought us together. It's great.
Well, isn't that amazing? I mean, that's the thing. What you have started here, and you've been obviously the catalyst for this. And here we go. It's going into its third year, and you know,
third year, 500.
It's blooming.
Happening. How his events are taking place all year round now. I mean,
uh-huh.
I just work all year just. You know, I mean, there's a group in Abuja that has five chapters, and they just keep having events in Italy, and
uh-huh.
People just say, I'm going to go do a poetry reading for 100,000 Poets for Change this week. They don't, you know what I mean? Like, why not,
uh-huh.
right? I mean, it's...
That's amazing.
I just had a guest here from Morocco
uh-huh.
who I met... He's an organizer. He's in his third year of organizing. He came and stayed with me for a week. We did a couple of poetry readings together. He's translating a book of mine into Arabic, which is being published in Egypt by an organizer for 100,000 Poets for Change in Egypt, who's in their third year. So, and we all got together at the reading, and people showed up, and there was like an organizer from San Luis Obispo and San Francisco, and another from Berkeley, and you know, of course, they're not just organizers, right? It's just a kind of a thing to say, you know, organizers from San Luis Obispo came to meet organizers. You know, it's like poets from different places got to know each other, and now they like to hang out. So, that's cool. That's what we need, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have created something here massive. And I mean, Do you have any idea how massive and big this whole 100,000 Poets for Change thing is? I mean, it's phenomenal. And you know what? I don't want to reduce our special guest here, Michael Rothenberg, here to just 100,000 Poets for Change, because, you know, there's so much more to this guy. You know, you're a poet yourself, songwriter, editor, and all that. You know, let's talk a little bit more about you as a person. You know, yeah, this 100,000 Poets for Change thing, we got that, but man, you got so much more going on. You know, you have a lot on your plate, and how do you do it, and how do you keep up with everything? First of all, okay, so you're a poet, songwriter. What's your number one thing that gets your muse going right now?
I'm a poet. That's okay. My thing. And that's what I've been doing since I was a teenager.
Teenager.
I'm 60
okay.
years old now. I'm an old guy. I'm 62. So I've been doing this since I was, you know, 17, 16.
Uh-huh.
And I got my master's in poetics as a returning student. I graduated from University of North Carolina with an
uh-huh.
English degree and went to Pacifica, California, where I actually started a tropical plant nursery, which I didn't know what I was doing, with my ex-wife and my brother, and we grew orchids and bromeliads, and I did that for 20 years while I continued to write and get active environmental stuff and worked as an editor for I did, you know, independently. I did some selected poems of Joanna Kiger, Philip Whalen, Edward Dorn for Penguin Books.
Wow.
And a complete collected poems I did for Wesleyan University Press for Philip Whalen, who was a friend of mine and who I took care of when he was sick and so forth. So my life has been poetry.
Okay, so poetry. Okay, so poetry is your number one passion. I mean, obviously you have. I mean, you say you're an environmentalist. I mean, some people will call themselves an environmentalist if they like throw something.
You want to know my credentials? Okay.
No. Just some people will call themselves an environmentalist if they throw, you know, a fucking piece of plastic into a recycling bin in their backyard that the garbage guys will pick up.
Whatever it takes.
But, no, seriously, what do you consider a serious environmentalist?
Okay. When I moved to Pacifica, California, I was renting a greenhouse from the highway department, and it on this hill that was supposed to have become part of a freeway. It was supposed to be a freeway that was going to go right through it, and so it was a temporary deal and so forth. I didn't really know the area that well. It turned out to be, you know, this amazing, gorgeous place overlooking the ocean, and it was surrounded by endangered species habitats. And, I mean, I had been already very geared into aware of the environment as a kid growing up in Florida and having spent a lot of time in the Everglades. And my family had a cabin out there, and we used to go out there and go fishing. And so I saw all that. And I became very connected to it. And then when I was like in my 16, 17, I started reading people like Michael McClure, who his book, like Meat Science Essays, and about the environmental theories and principles. It was the 60s. So that's kind of caught my attention, and I cared a lot about nature things. So I started to understand the philosophic, theoretical, and you know, grander scheme of environmental thinking. And I was learning it from poets. And then when I came out to California, I started to see, I had a tropical plant nursery with an English degree. So I was already connected to nature in that way. I was like going, I want to grow plants. And that's still not environmentalist. It's like a plant lover, right? And then I started to see areas like, I remember California in the 70s was still very, very active in terms of environmental battles and this and that. So it was in the air and coastal protection stuff. And I ran into people who started to like fill me in on you know, what you can do to protect endangered species and what the environment, what the political and things that are going on in my community in the region in Northern California on the coast. And I met people who were Margo Patterson Doss and Amy Meyer, who were both on the Golden Gate National Recreation Advisory Committee at the San Francisco, which met in San Francisco, which they were, the Golden Gate National Park, the GGNRA has the largest urban park. I think it's the largest urban park in the world. And so I was learning from them about how you can work to preserve and to turn to lands like the one we were living on and see them brought into the park for protection. Because here it was, this headland and a hillside and the ocean and everything, and they're talking about putting a freeway through it. That seemed wrong. And so I ended up starting a group called Pacificans from Maury Point. A friend of mine, a lawyer who I met through this process, I ended up a planning commissioner in the city of Pacifica. We sued a developer who wanted to put up a $200 million conference center with seven restaurants on top of a headline and decimate an endangered species, the San Francisco garter snake habitat. I started to work with the biologists on doing environmental impact reports. And finally, after a lot of political lobbying and activism, we brought down that plan, and the land was, their permits were denied, and the land eventually was purchased by Trust for Public Land for transferring into the Golden Gate National Recreation Area. So that was like 7 years, and you could, if you want, read the oral history of Michael Rothenberg and his involvement with the Golden Gate National Recreation Area, because it became a pretty significant battle and acquisition and expanded the Golden Gate National Recreation Area into San Mateo County to the south. So I probably just told you more than I needed to, but I...
No, that's perfectly fine. If people wanted to read
so
that,
for me,
is
it
there
became
an actual, like, site or www. Dot, or do they have to just
you can go to Sheldance Nursery on the internet and read about the nursery. It's still there, and and I'm still a partner there.
Okay.
Sheldance.com, and it has pictures of the different room and offer tells about the history of the nursery and what happened, and it doesn't give a full history of the political thing, but it gives a history of the nursery. And you could probably Google like Michael Rothenberg Golden Gate National Recreation Area or Pacificans from Maury Point, and something might come up about my involvement there. I haven't looked in so long.
Here's a fun question,
really,
Michael.
Yeah,
here's a fun question.
Yeah.
Do you Google yourself often, just, you know, to get a kick, you know, just like, what's going on? Where am I? Where do I rate on the Google quest? That's a fun, offbeat question here.
Well, we all do it at times.
We're all guilty. Come on.
By the way, are there any other people calling in from around?
We have a lot of other callers on. Shall we bring them on?
Bring them on so they're not getting lonely out there, and then I can talk about myself later, and we can all Google them together.
Well, you know what? You're not really talking about yourself. You're talking about all this awesome stuff you have going on, which is really, it's phenomenal. You have no idea how many people admire what you're doing and what you have going on. But sure, yeah, let's bring on
some
other callers.
I don't know how you have energy to do what you do. You know, you've got to have all this energy. I mean, geez.
Where do you find the energy to do all this stuff?
It's obsessive compulsive disorder.
Oh, gosh, you're one
it
of those types,
It has to be
huh?
something like that, yeah. I'm a type A person.
Wow. All right, well, you know what? We'll bring on, we have a caller who has been waiting, a caller that had called in before the show even, way before the show started, called in before I did, and it's from the 432 area code. So I'm going to bring that caller on. 432 area code, I don't know who you are, but you've been holding for longer than I have for the show. So, hey, we're bringing you on. You have anything to ask Mr. Michael Rothenberg? Hello.
Sure I do. This is Kat, Midland, Texas. Hello, Michael.
Hi, Kat. How are you doing?
I'm doing super. So we've got Texas Herd all ready for the stampede for September the 28th.
Tell me what's going on. I'm watching. It sounds like Texas is going to have, like, amazing this year, bigger than any year before.
Good.
What's going on there?
Well, right here in the Permian Basin, which represents a lot of towns, Midland, Odessa, we're having our event at Gardendale, which is a little community, which is kind of a centralized location. We hope to have the Poet Laureate from 2008, Larry D. Thomas, here, who now lives in Alpine. We're hopeful of having some cowboy musicians, poets, spoken word artists, and I've noticed that some of the people that are communicating, they're having mimes, jugglers, and I thought we might as well add wild bull riders.
Oh, you're kidding.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Wild bull riders.
I love
mimes,
it.
Mimes, jugglers. I want to go to your event. Oh, my God.
Well, we're even planning on having some, what do you call them, Mid-Eastern dancers, also known as belly dancers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that's
man.
We're having belly dancers here. We're doing a local event for Santa
mm-hmm.
Rosa, California.
Mm-hmm. I want to tell you, I suffer from COD. I think it's easier to remember than OCD. We are compulsive obsessive. You know, same thing. It's just easier to remember. We're fighting City Hall right now because they want to build an Al-Qaeda target right downtown Midland. Tower of Babel, Al-Qaeda
Are you
target. I'm serious.
Are you making that up? Are you making that up? I mean, an Al-Qaeda target right there in Midland?
Well, that's what I call it. It's 58 stories, five underground. I mean, it's perfect. It even looks like one of their buildings.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, we have other words for it for our outgoing mayor, you know, like Salic and things like that. But anyway, we're fighting City Hall on that, and the senior citizens are fighting City Hall and a contractor because they are mistreating the seniors and the youth are not treated well. I'm called a rebel rouser. And we, for some reason, I don't understand why, and we have gotten more poets and young people involved in this Permian Basin right now than probably in the history of this area.
All right, on.
That's, I like to hear that.
Yeah.
See
it's
what you
wonderful.
Inspired, Michael?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Rothenberg?
This drives me. See, when I hear this, Then when I wake up in the morning and go, like, it's showtime, and, you know, I'm going to have to go back on Facebook. This gives me so much hope and motivates me. I mean, it motivates me. It's great. This is what it was about. I mean,
mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It's just, yeah.
Look,
yeah. It's in the spirit. It's in the heart. A person has got to have it.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And I like you have friends all over the world. I have friends in India, in New Zealand, and all over the United States. Used to be in Nicaragua. I haven't heard from them in a long time.
Uh-oh.
In England, all over the world. It's just phenomenal. It's just phenomenal. Right. Who would have thought that a kid running barefoot in the hot sand with pigtails and freckles and no shirt would know all these wonderful poets.
Right.
Right.
And it's writers amazing. And musicians
amazing.
And painters. And I even know Michael Quinn.
And you know, that's one of the beautiful things, I think, of, you know, the internet and everything. And can you even imagine,
yeah.
you guys, like, the Beat Generation, if they had access to, you know, the technology we all have right now, can you imagine
oh, wow.
how much that would have, like, just boom.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lamisa, Texas is involved with us. I think Tom, the world poet, is down in Austin. Connie Lane Williams at Lamisa, she started Forest Fest, which is an international event of poets and others in Lamisa, Texas. Lubbock, Texas has Poet Head, and Amarillo has Levi the Poet, Daniel Ramos. We're close to Albuquerque. They have a wonderful slam poetry, spoken word artist over there, too.
And you have a great thing going on in Houston for 100,000 Poets for Change this year.
Well, and Donna McBride was up here, and some other people.
Yeah.
We had a big festival here the first weekend in May, and we had poets from all over Texas here in Midland.
Yeah. I went through Texas last year. No, that's this year. In the spring, and we stopped in San Antonio, and it was inspiring. Victoria,
yes, San Antonio, strong. Austin is Houston.
And yeah, the Austin.
Lubbock, Amarillo. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you know, a lot. I didn't realize that there were so many poets, and so many good poets. That there's a great art scene in Texas too. I mean, and that's we're not getting that information to the normal channels. And for me, at least, I didn't know about it until this thing came down with 100,000
people. Mm-hmm. Do you know 2/3 of the people, probably you do, are enslaved, mistreated, abused in some shape or form? 2/3 of the people in the world don't have a voice?
I know. No, well, at least we're trying to get together and do something. I mean, we do what we can, but this, you know, we have each other. That helps a lot.
Well, and not only that, but who makes the difference in the world? The writers.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not the politicians. It's not the preachers. It's the writers make the difference in the world, and that's
yeah,
a known fact.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm just glad someone's using Facebook for something other than just sharing memes, you know?
Absolutely.
Sharing
yeah.
what?
Sharing memes, you know, the
smiley
photos and the slogans and that. Yeah.
Oh, I get so sick of recipes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
But it's good. I mean, you guys are using it for the right reasons, man. You guys are connecting.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, that's what's so inspiring about, you know, Mr. Rothenberg. What's so inspiring is that you have connected with so many people. You have found a way to get out there and connect and create something that a lot of people can relate to. And that's
mm-hmm.
what's so beautiful. I love
it's
it.
It's a platform
mm-hmm.
is what it
mm-hmm.
I mean, the term, I guess
it's
the
wonderful.
Term for it is a platform.
People are absolutely the most brilliant
mm-hmm.
of any century. They have more knowledge. They are so intelligent and so enthusiastic, and it just hurts me when people talk about youth. Youth, the youth I'm around are brilliant, inspiring.
Right. They just need to be, they need a chance to, you know,
for
no,
people to say, hey, you're a human being, you know?
Yeah. Hopefully I
thrive on being politically incorrect and freedom of speech.
Political incorrectness is my MO.
Uh-huh.
You know,
I love it.
I like you.
Thanks.
I think we have a lot in common.
I wouldn't say that 100,000 Votes for Change is the most politically correct.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've been kind of managed within that paradigm, right? So we can unmanage that.
Mm-hmm. For sure. A lady said the other night, She said, "Oh, my gosh," to the other lady, "you have on a white dress and it's past Labor Day."
That's totally
I said,
That's
said,
totally
I think I'm going to wear velvet in summer. And the way I feel about it, the people in most of the people in the world have what they have on. Who cares?
Well, exactly, exactly. I like you a lot. You know what? I don't wear white after Labor Day or any of that crap. I always wear a pair of camo shorts and Seriously.
You wear your Speedo? You wear your Speedo?
No, I don't wear Speedos.
Oh, no,
never.
You wear diapers.
No, Speedos, that's politically incorrect beyond belief. We'll let the French take that, you know, the French people on their beaches.
We're eating beaches in Normandy with our Speedos. We eat too many McDonald's to wear Speedos is the problem.
Okay. you would think
That's
you
true.
Were on a Florida beach.
That's crazy. You guys are cracking me up. All right. Wow. So, okay, we have another caller who's been waiting here.
Great talking.
We're
going to
bring him on and see if
you
this
too,
caller.
Take care.
Hey, feel free to stay on. You've been great, and you know I'm a fan of you now.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, and
I'm
I love
on Facebook.
Your Texas accent.
Keep fighting the good fight. And you can friend each other on Facebook, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. We gotta. So okay, we got another caller here who's been waiting for almost a half an hour. Holy crap!
Okay.
All right. Okay, caller from the 2110 area code, you are live. Hello, caller, you are live.
Hi, this is Victoria Valenzuela calling from San Antonio, Texas.
Wow, another Texas. Wow, here we go. Hi, you have something to ask Mr. Michael Rothenberg, who is our wonderful guest here tonight, who has been nothing but awesome.
Yeah,
I know Victoria.
And
I know Victoria.
She knows
Victoria's
all about me.
She's a great friend. She's a great friend, a great organizer, a great poet. What's going to happen in San Antonio, Victoria?
Well, this year in San Antonio, we have a lot to celebrate.
Poster. I love the poster, by the way. It's awesome.
Oh.
I just saw it. All right, so I'm going.
Yeah, thank you. That was created by Daniela Rielhuis. She is an up-and-coming artist, musician, performance artist, jack of
Very
all trades.
Cool.
She's a brilliant, brilliant artist. And she was gracious enough to allow us to use one of her photographs and, you know, allow us to put some text and logos on it. And it's our flyer for this year. And I'm super proud to, you know, have her as part of our team. She's actually going to be performing at the 100,000 Poets for Change San Antonio. She'll be singing. So I'm excited about that.
Cool.
I also have a medicine person named Buffalo Thunder who will be performing some spirit songs. And a band called Ay Chingatos. They are a feel-good jam band that they've been playing for a good long time, and they're just a bunch of great guys. And they actually have special songs that they're working on for our event to talk about the safety and cleanliness of our drinking water. So that's what we're going to focus on this year is the safety and cleanliness of San Antonio's drinking water, women's rights issues, because that's a big issue in Texas right now. And we're going to be celebrating the fact that San Antonio passed the non-discrimination ordinance for the LGBT community. We are very excited.
Awesome.
Yeah, and we also have Wesley Hughes, who's writing a new song for our event, also about water.
Awesome.
And poets are coming from all over the city, slam poets, nature poets, political poets, not-so-political poets. All walks of life and all ages will be performing poetry. And we're going to be celebrating from 1 o'clock in the afternoon until 7 o'clock right at Gemini Inc., which is at 513 South Presa, San Antonio.
Wow. So, wow, Brian. So, yeah, I mean, I went through there on the way to Florida and stopped off and met the people in San Antonio, and I was blown away by the scene there, and I had such a good time and learned a lot about the community. And I mean, in fact, like, then we came back, right? And then and then we're coming again. I mean,
yay.
It's like family there. It's like, I love it.
Yeah.
We're going to stay longer so we can, like, look around the town and see the buildings and the mural art and eat more barbacoa and
barbacoa and Big Red, you got to have it.
Right, exactly. That's amazing. See, Brian, they say when you break it down and start to hear what everybody is doing, it's mind-blowing. Because, I mean, as it is, it's a lot to think of, 500 or 700 events. But that's a superficial listing. When you start to actually hear the people, and here they're human, and they have their posters and their art, and they have their concerns, and you hear what they're doing for their events, you realize you start multiplying that by 500, and it's like, it's pretty amazing.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, I knew this thing was for real. I mean, after the first event.
It takes on a different, you know what I mean?
When you start to hear the actual people and other people involved, it makes it that much more tangible and that much more real. I mean, honestly, I attended my first event in Elyria, Ohio, 2011. I guess that was the initial year of, you know, this 100,000 Poets for Change. And, it's not just poets, too. It's artists. It's writers. It's musicians and stuff. And that event that I, you know, first attended, there was poets, there were prose writers, there were musicians that performed, you know.
Ukulele players, yeah.
Yeah, ukulele. I mean, I have posted the videos from it actually before, and it was just amazing, and it blew me away. It really did. And so, like, I was like, wow, this is really cool. This is something. And, you know, and then I got more and more familiar with it, and then I heard about it again the next year and the next year, and I was like, wow, this is something, this is huge. And it has multiplied. I mean, to a degree
it feels good. I mean,
it's mind-blowing.
It gives us all something a good excuse to sit around and eat organic carrot cake and listen to banjo music and... We have mimes for change in Egypt. I mean, this is serious. I mean, they got a grant from the Arab Arts Council in Egypt. This is during revolutionary times there when life and death. And there's six events in Egypt, and in the Mimes for Change group does like a whole month long series of performance about different subjects in the subways, and they have the national reporters come and interview them, and it's on the national news, and they start to hooking up with other mime groups in Uruguay, in Panama, in Indonesia, in Kosovo, and now there's like, you know, seven or eight Mimes for Change groups around the world, and it's this vehicle again for them to be able to comment on community and society, and to hook up as artists. And so it's pretty, that mime thing I think blew a lot of us away when we started to see it, because at first we didn't really know how to feel about it, and the more what is this? It's like clowns or something like that, and then you find out the depth of that particular art form and its significance in 20th century theater and so forth, and you start to realize that these people are dead serious about the work and the craft of what they're doing.
Oh, right, you know, here's a funny thing. I have written many many poems and done many comic strips. I'm a comic book artist and crap like that, comic strip artist. You know, making fun of mimes, but at the same time, I've always admired what mimes do, you know? it's so funny you bring that up. And the only reason I you know, mock them is because, you know, I admire what they do and all that. And, yeah, I mean, that's...
Hey, there's jugglers. You want to take it? There's jugglers for change in Turkey.
That is awesome.
People say to me, "Well, we're jugglers, or I'm a theater performing artist, or I'm a painter, or I'm a photographer. Can I do an event?" Of course, because really the essential issue here is not just being a poet. The essential issue here is that we as human beings need to see a better world, to see a better world we're living in, to see things change. We need each other. We need each other for community. We need each other to exchange our experience and our knowledge of each other's cultures and desires, our creative impulses, to know, well, what is going on in San Antonio with, you know, it's breathtaking is what it is.
It is.
It's breathtaking.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, you would actually like to have
you know,
the city
all
to,
art forms, not just poetry. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. It's all art forms. And, you know, art is an expression for people's, you know, it's a way for art in any form, be it poetry, comics, or drawing, or painting.
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 Know, in Columbia,
anything. It is a way to express.
Yeah, what they did.
Yeah.
In Columbia, what they did. First year, there's kids there. They put together, they said they had 100,000 Poets for Change group. And then a week later, they wrote, we would like to change it to 100,000 Artists for Change. And I said, fine, whatever you want to do. Then they said, we want to change it to 100,000 People for Change. I said, fine, whatever you want to do, that's fine. 100,000 People for Change. People.
Right.
You know, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
People too. So, I think people get it. They get it beyond the specific, you know, art form or being an artist.
Right.
You know, I mean, we have Skaters for Change in Prescott. No, 100,000 Skaters for Change. And so there's a skate shop in there that where there's a guy, who runs the shop is a poet. So he introduced it to his group, and they Terry generated a logo that's Skaters for Change. They're really happy about it. So was she, because she was a skater. So, you know, I know people could just continue to know each other and to share what they're doing.
Right.
You know, so that we can have a richer, at least it makes us a little more hopeful in the face of some pretty scary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. And, you know, what you have started and what you have planted the seed, Mr. Rothenberg.
It's just...
How should I officially, you know, address you?
Well, I mean,
Mr. Rothenberg, is that all right with you?
Michael.
Oh, Michael? All right. Well, then Michael. All right, yeah. Seriously.
Hey, Jessica Wilson in L.A. calls me Chief.
All right, you know what? I like Chief better. Can I just call you Chief for the rest? You know, for the rest
it's
of the show.
Really funny. I call her Miss Chief.
Miss Chief,
oh,
like mischievous. Ooh, wow. That's great.
Yeah,
no,
you know,
I mean.
Look, the thing is, I really, you know, I guess the thing that's really important to me is really I try. It's very hard because I'm an egotist, but I try really hard to, as best as I can, to move myself out of any center type of focus or, you know, I appreciate people's appreciation of what work we're doing and I've done, and they value that in me. I mean, that feels really good. But I also feel that it's really important that the people who are doing it, like Victoria or Kat Copeland, and that but that you are it, and that's what why it is what it is. You know what I mean? I think that's really I think it's a ground up movement, and I think that that's why it's so successful, because it's a ground up thing, and it's not another top down construction.
Right.
You know, so I do appreciate it, but I do think it's really important that.
It is important, and yeah, you've made a huge impact. I mean, in so many ways. I mean, surely you realize at this point what an impact and how big this has become.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole 100,000.
I think so, but I'm also very, very. I'm very, very impatient.
Impatient,
right?
Also,
Victoria. I'm very impatient because I really want to see the whole planet saved, like, now.
I agree with that statement.
It's never big enough. It's never fast enough. It's never enough. We need more. There needs to be more organization, more community building. You know, there's hardly time to to stop and to say, well, look, a lot of times I have these feelings about, is this worthwhile at all? Because I go out of my little bubble of 100,000 Pause for Change, and I go see what's going on in the world, and that's like, get me.
I think the key was making it for change rather than just poets, right? You know, I was talking with my San Antonio committee about change. I mean, we're poets. We can recite poetry all day long till we're blue in the face. But it's until we actually create the change that what we are doing becomes worldly and significant. So here in San Antonio, we want to ask for the city to approve an ordinance that keeps our water safe. You know, we've already achieved the pass of the non-discrimination against the LGBT community and veterans. So, I mean, we can celebrate that, you know. Yeah, there's too much hydrofracking happening around this area. You know, whole towns are without water, you know. That's devastating.
Right.
It's devastating. Only 3 years after the BP oil spill, there's still gas, there's still oil on the beaches of Galveston.
Right.
It's horrifying. And you know, as poets creating change, that is our role. It's important.
We have a local group doing this 100,000 Poets, and we have a big rock concert on Friday night. We have a 15 bands organized by kids that are going to do like a metal, punk, and hip hop night with 15 bands. And then Saturday morning we have a march through town. We got permits with Aztec dancers and belly dancers and the Hubbub Club, which is a brass band, and we have a committee on immigration rights and the public media group and the Peace and Justice Center and Bloco Windsor Brazilian drummers and Joe Gray dance. Point being is that we're putting together all these people to march to show community union and to bring the political groups together with the artists and show that we're working together to present these things. In fact, tomorrow we have a Busters Day here in Sonoma County, Santa Rosa, in the Courthouse Square. We took out a permit, and there'll be like an acoustic day, and we're going to sit around making signs for the march. And then Saturday night, September 28th, we have a dance party and stuff like that. And then on our Sunday event, we have so far 80 poets for a marathon. They're coming all from around the Bay Area. And we constantly make sure that we keep bringing back the idea that this is not just an entertainment event, that this is an event to address issues. And so we always build in workshops, and we always build in as much as we can to
to bring the whole thing together about this common cause, acknowledgement of need for peace and sustainability, for real political, social, environmental, economic change. Mm-hmm. It's like we all, I mean, it's a long process, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We have a major problem in Midland, and I suppose all over the United States, of how our elderly are treated.
Oh, hi, Kat.
Hi.
I didn't quite hear what you said.
We have a major problem of how our elderly are treated, senior citizens. Here in Midland, we had a contractor that was supposed to be the management company, and absolutely, it was run like a Gestapo, and Nurse Ratched from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and I'm not exaggerating. We've been working a year on this, and we've had news media, TV, we've had the newspaper, we've had the seniors. I mean, we like we're going to do a picket, but they let us in. They let us in, and they are now, City Hall's recognizing that some changes need to be made. Now, you won't believe this, but I was banned from the Senior Citizen Center because I asked for a quote on a van so people could eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, and this is, poets can do it. They can articulate these issues. You're like I say, the writers can write it, artists mm-hmm. can do it. And it's amazing. You know, I mean, people talk about the difficulty of getting artists to get together, but I mean, I never, I'm pretty impressed at the mm-hmm. How good they are at it,
mm-hmm.
you know.
With all of our personality differences.
Exactly, as weird as beautiful, I mean. But, you know, it is. It's pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and we, you know, I think part of it is also that there, I don't know, if I remember back, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, I just felt that the poet and artist didn't have very good self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
That they think
mm-hmm.
very much about of themselves. And, you know, the whole society was valuing, you know, financial success and
exactly,
you know, these, you know, if you're so smart, why ain't you rich? You know, that kind of thing. And so, you know, what, who cares? And that kind of like poet, I don't feel that so much these days. I think people are kind of like, okay, so what do you got to say?
Sometimes I don't want me to tell them, though.
Well, you know, every once in a while you have to tell people to fuck off, you know. It's like.
Absolutely. That's just, yeah, that's part of life. Yeah, you got to just, yeah. You just got to extend that middle finger and be like, you know what? Fuck you. And speaking of that, we got another caller here. We're another caller here. We're going to bring on here from the 530 area code. 530 area code. You are on live. You have something to say. Hey, 530, you're on live.
Hey guys, Bill Gaynor here out in California.
Oh, it's
hey,
Bill Gaynor. Wow.
Yeah.
Mr. Bill Gaynor, good to hear your voice again, buddy.
And you know, I listen to your show, and I always get a kick out of it. I'm surprised that Michael has been able to maintain you tonight, you know, or not maintain you, contain you tonight, you know.
Contain, what? Contain,
who, me? Brian is much more animated than he is tonight, which he is quite a bit tonight already. But no, we're having...
Wow, Bill.
Hey.
Wow, it's good to hear from you, man. So you
and
have questions for us?
I missed you this last thing we did down in the bay. You know, that was wild. You know,
it's not wild if I'm not there in a diaper kissing myself. But anyhow,
you were still the talk of the show. You know? are the shows. We actually did three events there. It was really cool.
Wow.
And I think one even had the opportunity to read with Michael one night. Yeah. So
yeah, we
really
read
cool.
together like what, a month ago about or two.
Yeah, July when we did that 3-day festival thing, you know, at Point Richmond and then San Francisco and Oakland, you know, that was wild.
It was a 3-day festival, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You guys were just going and going and going.
You're doing
an event, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. I was debating this year, you know. I've been involved since the start of it, you know. I read in Sacramento the first year down at the Fremont Park down there for the Sacramento Poetry Center. And then last year we did an event up here at the, it's called the North Columbia Schoolhouse. You know, I'm in Grass Valley, California. I'm up in the mountains. And it's a little farther up. And it was, I hate to say it, but it was a disaster. It was, and the reason being that for those of you who aren't familiar with Nevada County, we are primarily, the area I live in is an artist community, and a big part of most people's income up here involves the underground economy. And there are many, great many people who are involved in agriculture in the underground economy. And that day at the North Columbia Schoolhouse, the DEA showed up, and they had 10 dump trucks loaded with pot that they had harvested from people's gardens parked out there. So everybody was kind of in lockdown. So we had a minimal audience, you might say. But we did have a good time. We had a ball, you know. But that's another reason for us to celebrate again this year, is to maybe change some of those laws as well, you know. But we do have a good time up here, and we're always happy to be part of this event. This is becoming quite the thing. In fact, next year, us as the Nevada County Poetry Series, another organization I'm involved with, it's going to be one of our major focuses. We're going to focus on National Poetry Month in April, and then in September on 100,000 Poets for Change, and, you know, try to put more attention into it than we have in the past. So what else is going on?
Great. You know, that we had such a good time at the reading, with that reading we all did down in the mission. That was such an amazing energy.
What do they call that place? Brian has read there before too. The Viracocha. I get a kick out of it because I was asking Paul Corman Roberts what the history of this building was, because it's kind of decorated with the wreckage of the next earthquake, you know. It's He says, "Oh man, it was a punk rock club back in the day, and then it was this and this, and then the people before us were a voodoo sect that had their meetings down there." And he said, "But the health department got really antsy with him, and because of all the chicken blood and stuff that was happening down there, so the owners had to evict him." And I thought, who would have the balls to evict the voodoo sect? You know, I got to meet this guy. You know, but so anyway, it's a neat club they have down there, and it's a lot of fun to always. It's in a basement in this odd.
Let's see, who was there? Neely was there. Neely Tchaikovsky.
Yeah, Neely is there. He's in.
Paul Corman Roberts.
Yeah, Neely's in
Italy?
New Orleans this week. This weekend. The first outfit to publish Bukowski back there. They did My Hand and My Heart. John Gypsy.
Lujan Press.
Yes. They're having their 50-year celebration, and he was invited to come back and be part of that. So, in fact, I'm going down to see him next week. Annie Minnenbrooker and I, and spend.
I wish
time
I had known he was going down there, because Dennis Fermento is down there. He's a good poet. He's organizing this is his third year organizing 500,000 Poets. Good guy. I wish I would have known, because he would have gone over and said hello to.
Well, he may have. Who knows? You know, as they did quite a bit of publicity for the event. And then you're right, he is heading for the end of the month. He's heading over to he's got a new book coming out in Italy, and
right.
So he's heading over that way for that book release. Yeah, yeah. My company has done a couple of his books, and we've had some great success with him. So we're always pleased, and he's a dear friend, you know.
Yeah.
As well as you guys are becoming, you know, like I said, I've had the opportunity to hang out and have fun with Brian, you know, 4 or 5 times now across the country, you know, not just in one place.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, Mr. Bill Gaynor, yeah, we've hung out in, on, you know, West Coast and in Ohio, and yeah, yeah, I've always kind of made a fool of myself, I think. it's a hobby. It's a hobby for me.
Yeah.
But Bill, I'm always impressed with your writing and your presence and everything. Like, I mean, geez, Albuquerque, Cleveland, et cetera, San Francisco, Oakland.
Toledo, all over the place.
Toledo, yes.
But Toledo was a ball. I really enjoyed Cleveland, you know, and with your... trying to pursue other careers in the hair cutting business was a real treat for many of us, you know. You look good till you took your hat off, man. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I know, yeah. Yeah. I screwed the pooch there, didn't I? Yeah.
Well, you know, I'll tell the story very quickly. Brian tends to cut his own hair and his kids' hair, and he had the setting on the shaver thing for the kids, and he did a pass up the back of his head, not realizing what he had done. So he exposed a little more than he intended to. We had a lot of fun.
Bill, you're cracking me up. So I had to just give myself a mohawk.
And you look good.
Just to make it look okay, so I didn't look like some sort of like medical experiment with a, you know, some sort of lobotomy.
Yeah.
Guys, I mean, but I just got a note from an organizer in Nigeria.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And he wants to call in.
Oh,
well,
okay.
I'll get off the line. I just wanted to call.
We got several callers.
I just
want
to let you know so that if he calls, then we don't want to put him on hold too long because of the long distance.
Yes.
Well, I just wanted to call and tell you we're all set. What we're doing here is we're doing it a week early. We're going to be doing it on the Wednesday the 18th because I already had a date and a venue scheduled for that, so we just plugged that event in. And myself, I'm probably going to be down close to your country down there, Michael. I think I'm going to be down at Watershed enjoying that. Dear
it's
friend
be
of
a
mine.
Great event. Gary Snyder and Robert Haas, and they're all. That's a 100,000 poets event.
Yeah, and Chris Olander, you know, who is a dear friend of mine, he is. He does the Strawberry Walk every year, and for those of you who don't know, down in Berkeley, they have a creek that has a long time ago been put into culvert, so it's underground, and they have been trying for a number of years to bring it back to the surface. And he has asked me to come down and enjoy that several years, and I haven't had the opportunity. I think I'm going to take advantage of doing that walk and listening to some other poets. And
cool.
And then, as you said, Gary Snyder will be there, and he's a neighbor up here, actually.
Yeah,
you know,
Gary
Snyder
and Robert Haas.
Yeah.
Yes.
Several wonderful writers and
awesome.
Contributors to the different concerns of the world that will be there, you know. And then that evening, I understand there's going to be a 100,000 poets event, and I want to go over to that and enjoy that as well before we head back up here up the hill here. So,
yeah. Are you going to come out to Santa Rosa?
Oh, I don't think so. That's a sidetrack for me.
Yeah, there's a bunch
I would
of
love
stuff
to
taking
one of
place
these
in Berkeley in Berkeley and Oakland.
Yeah, that's down there and they always do a wonderful job. You know, that's a Poetry Flash magazine that kind of underwrites that whole event, and they do a wonderful job. You know, Joyce Jenkins and her husband Mark, and they're wonderful
people.
And
if you're ever in this area, make sure you let me know. So. I can, you know, I'd love to get together with you. Yeah,
well,
I feel
you
like
know,
we're...
you know what the deal is. If you're buying lunch, we'll definitely pass through.
Oh, I'll buy you lunch. That's not a problem.
If that's
I can afford lunch. Just don't come around dinner time.
Yeah, then there you go. Well, as you guys were talking earlier, as long as it is an organic cheesecake or whatever that was you were saying.
Oh, organic cheesecake.
Actually, I got to tell you, that was the best. That was the best cake I've ever had. Is this a
blueberry cake?
It's covered in blueberries. I've been like, why didn't I get another piece? So I have to go. I'm going back.
Yeah.
I'm going through my birthday time, especially because I've already told them I want another cake.
There you go.
I'll call Laurel.
Well, I'll let
you
guys go. I just wanted to give a holler and say hi and tell Brian that I do listen to his show and I enjoy it every time you guys are on
the
air.
Great to hear your voice.
And the rest of your gang, too. I know Brian's kind of running the show here himself a little bit tonight, but there's another bunch of folks there with him that are is fun to listen to as well. And, Michael, it's always fun reading with you and participating in anything you have going on. So,
awesome.
Do keep in touch, and we will. I got to get you up here, maybe up to Sacramento here in the near future, toward the end of the year. So, yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Anyway,
good to hear from you, man. It's been too long.
Thanks,
it's been too long since I don't think we've hung out since New Mexico. So.
New Mexico.
New Mexico show. Yeah.
No.
Cleveland.
You were in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were in Cleveland.
Cleveland. Yeah. Yeah.
Cleveland was a ball. I absolutely had a ball. And Michael Grossi, I don't know what you guys fed him, but the poor guy, we almost lost him there for a while. What do you call your little cocktail poetry bombs, you know?
Poetry grenades, yeah. Yeah.
That guy from Nigeria is calling now. Did you
okay.
see it?
Okay.
I will let you guys go. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks for calling in, man. I appreciate it. Love it.
Do you see him, Brian?
All right.
He's calling from 23481 from the long distance.
I don't see a 234 area. Wait. Hold on.
00, I don't know. He says he's calling right this second.
Okay.
Oh, okay, so we'll wait for it.
We have a 317 area code and a 212.
Oh, wow. Oh, cool.
So, you know what? We're going to bring these other callers on because I'm sure they have some great, you know, really great questions for Mr. Rothenberg, and we'll bring them on and.
Sure.
Go. 317, Erica, 317, you're on.
Hi, Brian.
Oh, this is Mr. Walter Beck. This is Walter Beck, our other co-host, who had a show earlier tonight. Hey, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thank you. I'm sorry I missed most of it. The other show I was on, it was only supposed to be an hour, but we ended going into an hour of fucking overtime.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. Yeah, we are okay. We have other people calling from like other countries
Nigeria.
Here.
Nigeria.
Somebody
calling from Nigeria.
Yeah.
What the hell do they want?
There is 100,000 Poets for Change organizer. His name is Riyada Oribahor.
All right.
And
we got another caller from the 212 area code. 212.
New York.
Hello, 212, you're on.
Hey, Brian, this is Larissa Spaller from New York City.
Oh, Larissa.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Is Michael on the line?
I'm here.
Yeah,
Michael
Rothenberg is our featured guest here tonight. He's kicking butt.
Larissa is a poet and organizer, poet in New York City, and... This is your third event, too, right?
This is my third event, and we are very proud to be a part of 100,000 Poets for Change. My group is called the Feminist Poets in Low-Cut Blouses, and Yes, indeed. And we live with the contradictions of feminism. And we have joined forces with the Unbearables, who are a drinking group with a writing problem. And we are doing a massively huge reading on the Lower East Side called The Feminist Poets in Low-Cut Blouses and the Unbearables Are Watching You Being Watched, and our theme is surveillance. And so we're going to be kicking poetry about how we seem to be being watched lately from all quarters. And it should be, we did this last year, the Feminist Poets and Low-Cut Blouses and the Unbearables joined forces last year, and we had a truly massive and hilarious reading. Many readers, many talented poets. We've got Amy King, we've got Steve Dalachinsky, we've got Mike Topp, we've got Sarah Sarai, we've got Patricia Spears Jones, we've got some seriously beautiful wordsmiths, and some very funny ones, and some, of course, there's going to be a little bit of outrageousness, too, but, you know, we want everybody to remember that we're there for peace and sustainability and for the right not to be watched.
Right.
Wow. The right not to be watched with low-cut blouses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Michael Rothenberg. I mean, what's the response to that? Michael, you there?
My response, yeah, I was just looking at the note from the guy from Nigeria. Trying to go, what is my response to the low-cut blouses? Well, this is look, what I like about what they're doing is pretty quite simple. It's like they're turning the whole political correctness thing upside down. I know a lot of those poets, and they're all really, they don't, that was not a double entendre. These are a lot of great poets, people I respect and I've known for years and years and years in New York City and from.
Uh-huh.
And it's, you know, I'm very excited that they're there and they're doing it. And I feel
right.
whenever I see their announcements or their posters and things like that, it kind of like makes me feel like definitely I'm not alone, that some of my comrades are, you know, people that I probably share a lot of aesthetics with, you know, my poetics, maybe, my
right.
things like that, and that these are the, like, my friends. So it's great. And I also really value the fact that they feel that it's essential and that it's important that it's happening. And it makes me feel okay about being obsessed because I know that, you know, I mean, let's face it, I can be not very cool sometimes. And these people are really cool. And if
well, you know,
I'm okay to do it, right? So,
you know, the feminist poets in low-cut blouses include men. A number of our members are indeed male. Actually, one is transitioning, so we don't know yet what gender they're going to be. You know, we are a group of men, women, and others, you know, and we welcome, and we think Michael Rothenberg is just the coolest thing since sliced bread.
Oh, well, I never thought that would happen. So thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And look, and also the thing that's come out of this is that Larissa just finished editing an amazing anthology of contemporary Russian poetry in translation for Big Bridge magazine, and which I didn't really know her much. I mean, I knew of you. I've heard your tapes and stuff like that, but I never, didn't really speak to you much until this came about. So I think that it brought our, you know, and also I think that with 100,000 Poets for Change, I became more sensitive to international
voices and so forth and say Big Bridge. So I think you see it more, and that I was more open when we spoke. And so it's had a big effect on me in my learning about what poetry around the world. You know, Larissa did an amazing editorial job on that anthology for Big Bridge. It's quite great. So
yeah. Oh, okay. You, well, hell. Here, listen here, Michael, Mr. Michael Rosenberg. Yeah. So Big Bridge. Tell us about that. I mean, a lot of people who are listening who aren't really familiar, you know, with Big Bridge. And I mean, what Big Bridge? That's something you've had going on for what quite some time, right? I mean, not just like
an online thing, but 16 years. Well, I mean, there was a print, kind of a fine print press thing that we didn't do much with, but
uh-huh.
Big Bridge was the online literary magazine we started 16 years ago, which is a long
right.
time ago in internet.
Well, yeah, internet, yeah. 16
yeah.
years
so
ago,
it,
internet, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have, been just doing this magazine for 16 years online, and
uh-huh.
it's grown and grown, and it's getting a pretty good following, and it's huge that we have things like this. How many pages, Larissa, is your anthology, for instance?
Well, gee, I think it's probably about 180, maybe pushing 200. It's got 50 poets in it, which I figured was ambitious, but we did a pretty good job covering the terrain. From slam
yeah.
to academic to prize winning to emerging. I think we did a good job. Michael gave us this great opportunity, the poets and, the format being online. The anthology traveled around the world in like an instant. It just flashed all over, you know, 1 minute's here, next minute, you know, you're on Voice of Russia in Moscow talking about it. So it's...
And then Big Bridge has that, has this amazing anthology, and then it has the Tibetan poets and Indian poets anthology. So we probably with the last issue is probably 1,000 pages worth of work. So that's Big Bridge, and with this all, all I know I can say is that, and then Larissa's great, your interviews that you've been doing on the, was it Russia, is it Russian radio?
We just aired on Voice of Russia on Monday, and that was exciting. A very large Russian interest journal called Russia Beyond the Headlines, which goes out to 32 million people in 7 languages.
Yeah.
They gave us a rave review, and that caused you know, and some scholarly organizations have, you know, stepped forward liking it, and you know, academics like it. But what's exciting is that this stuff is getting out because of Big Bridge. You know, because it is Big Bridge, it's getting out to popular imagination, and that's very exciting. You know, because
we're able to reach, I mean, through, because of the internet, I mean, it's a great way to connect, like, the Larissa and the Russian poets and translation. And now we have the man from the organizer from Nigeria. He's on the phone right now, right? I think he's right
yes,
there.
Yes, he is. He has finally come through. Here we go. We're going to bring him on now.
Hello.
And you. He's gone again. I'm sorry. He's not there. The Nigerian. We'll give him one more shot here, okay? Just give him a shout out. Oh, wait. Here he is. He's back.
Right.
Ready?
Okay.
You ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
Hello. You're
Hello.
On, man. Hello.
Hello? Nigerian?
Hello?
Hey! Welcome. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Talk
Good
to
morning.
The special host here, I mean, our special guest here, Michael Rothenberg.
Okay, yeah. My name is Iriata Oribabo. I'm calling from Abuja, Nigeria.
Wow. That's
Abuja,
awesome.
Abuja, Nigeria.
Oh, welcome.
Thank you very much. I've been listening to your discussions, the very lively discussions.
Tell them what's going on in Abuja. I mean, this Abuja is, like, amazing, the programs that are going on there.
Abuja is eagerly waiting for 28th September because it's going to be completely different from what we had last year. You can, if you recall, we had it for the first time last year. We're hoping to make it bigger, and it's sure going to be bigger than what we had last year.
What kind of event will it be?
It will be all celebrating poetry. We're going to celebrate most of our poets, performance poetry. There will be music, there will be dance, there will be lots of comedy, all in celebration of poetry and what poetry could do for society.
Is there five chapters in Abuja for 100,000 poets?
Excuse me?
Do you have how many chapters? You have different groups around Abuja, right?
Oh, at the moment we have chapters in Kuje. We have Kuje Area Council. We have a chapter in Suleja. Suleja is a neighboring state to Abuja, that is in Niger State. We have a chapter in One Man Village, another suburb of Abuja, just in Nasarawa State. We have a chapter in Kubwa. And we are having a lot of activities going on around the central part of the town, too, in Abuja.
So will people from the different chapters come to the one event, or are they separate?
Yes, they are all coming for events. Today we are having a meeting to harmonize our activities to bring everyone on the same page. It's going to be very, very interesting.
The pictures and posters that you have sent us over the last year have just been inspiring and amazing. I got three posters kind of today and yesterday. They're beautiful. The pictures of that kind of a parade through the village was incredible, with the banner and the picnic out by the caves. I guess it's a kind of like cave where you had big poetry reading.
That was in Buhari Area Council. That is in Wushapa. It's a very beautiful scenery, a place that deserves to be addressed as the tourism haven of Abuja, but unfortunately, it's not so. So we are using poetry to reach out to the authorities to see that they get to give that place attention and make it what it's supposed to be as an attraction to the entire world.
The pictures are beautiful. It looks like a beautiful place to go. And also you had pictures that came in of some school, some children's classes.
Yeah, that was in Kubwa. It was organized to keep the kids busy because they were on holidays, and we thought they should be taking through some lessons on poetry and poetry writing and performances. So we organized that in Kubwa. It was a very short one, and the kids were very happy about it.
Yeah, that was great. That was great. Well, it's really good to hear your voice. And hopefully we'll meet in Macedonia. We're still talking about having a conference of organizers from around the world in Macedonia in the spring next year. It's been slow getting the the kind of, we want the mayor of Strumica to give us an invitation so that everybody will know that it's a legitimate thing. So when they're going to travel across the world to come to meet. Of course, as long as we meet each other, that's what counts, right? So,
definitely, definitely.
So I haven't forgotten that. I'm just waiting till after September to begin pursuing that again. They're very busy there. But I don't know if you've seen, Macedonia has, usually they produce 20 posters because they have a kind of competition that goes out to graphic artists around the world, around the country. And so all these different graphic artists send in their ideas of what 100,000 poets for change is visually. And he's having them all come to the main town for this event, and he's putting them up in a hotel there, and they're going to have get to know each other and celebrate and so forth. So hopefully I will get to meet you there next year.
I sincerely look forward to meeting with you and other poets around the world. It would be an honor, and it would go a long way in stamping that fact that Poets for Change are determined to put the best, or give the best to society.
Yeah. And to please send my best, my love to everybody there in Abuja, Nigeria, and tell them that I'm so grateful for all the work that they're doing, and that, you know, anything I can do to help support those events and to let people know about what's going on in Nigeria, it is my honor.
What is the name of this program?
The name of this program is Nothing to Lose. And, you know, Nothing to Lose. I know that sounds kind of pretentious and sort of crappy, but, yeah, you know what? I am glad you called in, and this show has been great. I mean, phenomenal so far, honestly. Everyone connecting and everything, and this is the, you know, the 100,000 Poets for Change thing. I mean, this is the persona of it. Everybody getting together here from all over the world, Texas and you know, California, Ohio,
New York,
and Nigeria, and everyone all. I mean, it just connecting live. I mean, this is kind of, you know, a microcosm of this whole, you know, 100,000 Poets for Change thing. And it just, it amazes me, and it's great, and I love it so much. And I'm so glad you called in, man. I really am. To connect with, you know, someone else
I'm going to put it online now for others to get to call you too.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks so much for calling in.
I'm going to announce it on my page for others to call you. How long is this program going to last?
Only 10 more minutes, right?
The show will be on, live for like 10 more minutes, but it will last forever in the archives. We'll have archives available. So,
you'll only be able to receive calls for another 10 minutes.
Yes, that's it. Yes. 10 more minutes.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks
that.
For being on. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, great.
So, I know. Amazing.
It is amazing. Wow. Look again, Mr. Rothenberg. Look what you have done. You have made this show freaking amazing. And not just this show, but, I mean, the entire 100,000 Poets thing and everything else you have going on. You are a very diverse and amazing person. I mean, you're a poet, writer, songwriter. You know, I'd like to hear a little bit more, you know, about your songwriting. That you know, just for the last couple, you know, 10 minutes or so.
I don't want to talk about it.
You don't want to talk about your songwriting? Oh, come on. I'm intrigued. I mean, come on. All right. Come on.
All right. Okay. So I wanted to know about songs, so I went to... I went on the road and went around the country meeting,
uh-huh.
meeting songwriters and working with songwriters and learning how to write songs back in the 90s. And I ended up as a kind of unofficial writer at Warner Chappell in Nashville, and had some songs and some movies with Johnny Lischel, who's a great guitar player. It was Bonnie Raitt and many other people, and wrote some songs with Larry Weiss, who wrote Rhinestone Cowboy, and we had some record cuts and stuff like that, but not huge thing, but I was very fortunate to have met and learned with great people. And it had to do with a personal passion for poetry and understanding the heart of poetry, I think, which poetry and song, my personal feeling, are of the same thing, and they're just different forms of it. And so that's it with that. I mean, I don't write a lot much anymore. I don't play an instrument, so I'm a lyricist. But it's great. I mean, that's all you need to know. I got my master's in poetry and popular song.
Masters in poetry and popular songs, huh?
Right. So to talk about what is the poetry? What's the manifestation that we're dealing with here, and what was the origin of song and origin of poetry and primitive song, and I guess it's kind of a ethnography type of thing, and so.
That's great. Man, you have been one of the best guests we've had on in a long, long time, man. You've hung in there for, 2 hours? Pretty much 2 hours. And,
You going somewhere?
I'm not going anywhere. You know what? We have another hour left, in the archives here. And that's party time. If you can hang with us and party with us, dumb stuff about pop culture and all that. I would love it.
We have a big day tomorrow. We have 100,000 Poets for Change Buskers Day, which is going to be in downtown Santa Rosa. So I really should get sleep and
oh boy,
get ready.
All right.
Signs.
Michael.
I love the show.
You have been a great guest, and
I love hearing from Nigeria and from Larissa and Victoria and Kat. I mean, that was
absolutely
awesome. And
absolutely.
It reminds me what it's all about to speak.
Yeah,
to people.
Heck, I wouldn't have had you on the show if you didn't remind me what it's all about. Honestly, the 100,000 Poets for Change, phenomenal thing. And that's just, that's just a microcosm. I mean, that's just, simple, tiny thing about you. There's so much more about you and, you have going on. And, man, to have you on and, literally shoot the shit. I mean, beyond shoot the shit. I mean, you were straight up just cool. And so fun to have you on. And
thank you.
Truly an honor, honestly.
You
have no idea, buddy. Really, you have no idea. And you know what? We might have to have you on again sometime in the near future, just to
it would be my pleasure.
And you know what? I'm gonna be a special host here in Danville, Illinois, for 100,000 Poets for Change here, Danville, Illinois. Yeah.
tell me about it. What are you doing?
What are we doing? We get a bunch of poets and performance artists and stuff like that, and we're all going to be all creepy and having fun here in Danville, Illinois. I mean, yeah, I'm not from Illinois. Trust me. I'm an Ohio boy. But yeah, it's a big event. Well, not that big. I mean, we're just 100,000 Poets for, change. But, yeah, we're getting together here, you know, in Danville, Illinois for a little shindig. And now I'm going to be cool. The MC and all that. And I'm going to be doing it along with Michelle McDonald, cool. Who is also the co-host and all that. And it's going to be a fun get-together for a bunch of, you know, poets and stuff like that, you know.
Do you have a theme, if you like?
Theme? Do we need a theme?
No. A piece of sustainability. No, but I mean, is there, you know, I mean, like something like we heard, like, Larissa dealing with,
the Midwest, us Midwest poets and stuff, we're not that exotic. We don't have themes. We just...
Well, I mean, but somebody is listening, right, Larissa?
Victoria's here.
Victoria. And then Victoria is doing about water and water quality and so forth. And what's scary about in Illinois? Don't tell me you don't care.
Okay, Michael, you're going to put me on the spot and make me admit?
No, I'm just talking to you. I mean,
you cracked me up
for 2 hours.
Theme? No. In the Midwest, us folk in the Midwest, we don't have no themes. We just like we like to wear adult diapers, and we just like to like tread in butter. But no, seriously, it's gonna be a fun show and a fun get together and represent the whole, you know, 100,000 Poets for Change, honestly, in Danville, Illinois. Yep. So,
where in Danville is it going to be? Is it in a park?
Yeah, it's in a park. It's in a park, a little tiny hut in a park. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No, really.
No, I'm being serious. Well, you know, a hut or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, but honestly,
really?
Yeah. In Danville, Illinois, and yeah, we will have a mic and an amp and all that, and there will be plenty of booze and sandwiches. Everyone will be having booze and sandwiches, and there will be an after party. But
well, you're gonna have the after party
sandwiches?
After the party.
Will they be organic sandwiches?
What did you say, Victoria?
I said, will they be organic sandwiches?
Organic. Well, I don't know. You'd consider
spam,
salami?
Spam
salami or turkey? Organic?
It's going to be Walmart brand peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, that's not organic. You're going to have to go shopping. Locally.
Hey, Victoria, I think we better go over there and help these guys out.
I think so too. Yes, we definitely in the Midwest here we need help. But no, seriously, we love and enjoy everything you're doing, man. Really, and the 100,000 Poets for Change, awesome thing. And I so appreciate you being on the show tonight. And hello.
Yeah,
I appreciate being on the show, and I mean, just sharing everything with us. I mean, that was just—it was great, it was awesome, and you were so explicit. So, hey, so all right, I guess we're getting ready to go into the archives.
Good.
The show's getting ready to end here, and we're gonna go into the archives. So whoever wants to hang out, don't hang up, because if you do, you can't hang out in the archives for the final hour. But we have to give special props to Mr. Michael Rothenberg for hanging out and being
good
such
guys.
A good sport.
Yeah,
thank you so much, man. I love it. And you know what? I hope to God we can meet someday.
We will. I'm sure we will. No, I mean it. I'm totally sure we will.
Let's
you take care, all of you. Don't drink too much.
Thank you.
Take care, Victoria. Talk to you soon.
You too. Talk to you soon,
everybody. Good night. Good night. And we're going into the archives. Hello. Hello. All right, we're in the archives.
Are we?
Oh my gosh, you know what? Hello, we're in the archives. We're in the aftermath. This is the aftermath of this show we just put together, which was pretty damn awesome. Hello, let's do a roll call here. You know what? The people. Oh, the Blood Archer people, they might be still around. If so, they need to speak up now and unmute. Plus, we got the 206. We got the 206 area code. That's Ryan Snowman. Snowman?
Yeah.
Snowman, you've been speaking around?
We're here. Blood Archer is here. Snowman the house.
Here we go. We're in the final hour of this.
Anybody got a gun?
Wow. So what the hell is going on there in Blood Archer Center?
Speaking and shit over here, and I need a gun.
Speaking shit. You know, you guys are like on speakerphone or some shit, and you sound all like, oh, look at me, I'm running around, like, naked, and I can, you know, and I'm just, like, speaking randomly.
Maybe I am. You don't know.
Mm-hmm. Brown chicken, brown cow. I hope you are. Okay. So what's going on with you guys? So how's the party there?
I've got a longer list of things I could talk about.
You know what? You guys sound like blup, 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 blup.
Sorry. I said Timmy's got.
You have to get up to the phone and like lick into it and speak into it. Otherwise, you're just kind of like.
Brian. I was just speaking into the phone.
Dog. What?
Okay.
Who's a dog?
We have a dog.
Oh, I'm looking for a gun.
Who are you guys looking for? A dong? Who's looking for a dong? Who needs a dildong?
I think Julie's looking for a dong. I'm looking for a gun.
Okay.
Or some sort of
weapon. Okay.
A bat might be fine.
I need a lighthouse.
You probably just did, dude.
I don't think you did.
So anyway, no, continue on. We're just doing our thing over here. Don't mind that.
All right. Well, you know what? If you guys can't be, like, mildly articulate and say anything.
Oh, wait. Come on. Sorry.
Then you know what?
On.
You know what? Someone needs just to go to the bathroom and get out the dildo and just dither. I'm not going to listen to you guys, like, run around and go, we're running around here being silly. Either that or put Tim Murray on.
Brian Fouget?
Yes.
I've got a few things I'd like to talk about.
I was hoping as much.
We turned it into a little bit of a drinking game around here. Every time that guy said Nigeria, we took a drink.
All right, you guys speak up or else, you know, yeah. Yeah. All right. You guys are like all high and, you know, you guys are lathering each other in butter and Mrs. Butterworth. Come on.
They've been all sniffing the same glue without the benefit of a lazy Susan.
All right. You know what? Are you there, Snowden?
Oh, yeah. All
right.
And let's see. Shall we delve into minor league baseball?
You know what? I'm willing to delve into whatever you want. As long as you have the Astro Lube. No,
oh,
seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, let's hit it up, man.
So let's see. Dayton Dragons. What league are they
Dragon.
In again? Let's see. They're a
single A. Unfortunately, yeah.
They're in the low single A league, along with a bunch of other teams in like Michigan and Indiana and Iowa and stuff.
Uh huh.
There's even a team in Peoria. How exciting! but we'll have to, let's see. Okay, so we'll have to make this a weekend of Dayton Dragons and Cincinnati Reds and nothing else. At least Columbus. Well, at least that way we can get up to the Triple A's.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, so you mentioned Triple A's. As far as, like, I don't know, raw sizes, I mean, what do you prefer? Double A's, Triple A's, Double D's, Single A's?
I think I like a good solid, you know, a good B cup is good. You know, it's like, we go for a good B cup. You know, it's
just a minor handful. That's all you require.
Yeah, just enough to, you know, grab onto and play with.
Either play with or, like, you know, ground yourself as, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, top or bottom, you know, it's whatever party you're playing with them, you know, it's... It's just enough.
Right. So, okay, you know what? I know you're a baseball guy. Do you not have any interest in football? Are you a football guy at all? At all?
I have some passing interest in college football and... You know, now that the Seahawks are having their big, glorious freaking season, you know, I have some passing interest in the freaking Seahawks, but that's about
right.
It. You know, it's my interest in football is kind of like my interest in, like, minor league baseball. I like college football because it's more entertaining. There's
uh-huh.
always going to be that one guy, that one team that just, you know, it's you have one guy that can be really freaking good and, you know, just dominate everybody else. And you can have a great team that just rallies around that and just does shit that nobody expects.
Right.
And it's like, you know, it's like going to a Triple A baseball team where you can have, you know, there's always going to be an inning somewhere in a Triple A baseball team game that somebody scores at least 5 runs.
Right.
Because, you know, there's a pitcher that, you know, he's got his stuff, but there's going to be one inning where his stuff falls apart.
Right.
And, you know, you end up with games that are freaking 10 to 12 or 10 to 2 or, you know, it's just more, it's more exciting because, like, something's going to happen no matter what.
Right. Well, here's the difference between, like, you know, AAA baseball and college football is the fact AAA guys, they're getting paid. They're getting paid, and they are, like, right on the verge of potentially becoming
you know, Major League Baseball players. I mean, seriously. So, I mean, that's going to motivate them, I think, a little bit more in a lot of ways.
Well, I think the whole freaking college football thing needs to be changed. I mean, they...
Oh, yeah, those poor kids, they get scholarships.
Well, I mean, that's kind of whole... I mean, the scholarships, to me, are kind of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the schools and the NCAA are making freaking millions of dollars off these guys. And, you know, they're lucky if they freaking get a free education. And, I think they should re-jigger the system so you can actually pay these freaking players. You know, pay them freaking hard-earned money. It's like, I mean, college football might as well be, you know, the same thing as the AAA baseball. You know, it's like it is a professional league, at least
right.
For Division I football. And in that, you know, you need to pay these. You know, I mean, you need to re-tigger this and pay them freaking money.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, they technically, yeah, that's a thing. Technically, they get paid with their scholarships and all that. Free college education.
Oh, the football players.
Yeah,
it's a lot of freaking hogwash. You know, it's...
Well, here's the thing. Yet they get, if anybody, like, suspects them anymore now, I mean, given all the social media and everything else, they suspect them, like, oh, you got an autograph, you got paid for an autograph or something like that, and... Next thing you know, they are just ostracized and shit upon. So.
Come on, and I mean it's. I mean, yeah, okay. So there's all sorts of shit going on when they're supposed to be, playing amateur freaking football in college, but you know we all know it's all sorts of freaking. Bullcrap, because it's the one example I always like to bring up is back in the late 90s, you know, Washington State University had their freaking big Rose Bowl run, and their quarterback was Ryan Leaf.
Uh-huh. Oh God,
at the end,
Ryan
Leaf. one of the biggest freaking failures in freaking pro football.
Yes,
but,
absolutely, yeah.
But he had his big freaking run as a college superstar.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as he signed with a freaking agent to go pro, he was driving around. I mean, Washington University is a town called Pullman. I mean, as soon as he freaking signed with an agent, he was driving around Pullman in a freaking red Lotus. And you can't tell me that these guys aren't freaking getting paid on the side somehow. You know, it's like, I mean, before he even leaves freaking town, he's driving a Lotus. I mean, come on. How is somebody not paying these guys on the side anyway?
True. Very true.
I mean, this is a small town kid from freaking Montana that... You know, probably, I mean, until he made it big time in freaking Wazoo, had never had more than $20 to rub together, you know? It's like, I mean, how the hell else is he going to, you know, afford a freaking Toyota, much less a freaking Lotus? unless some freaking, you know, agent fronts him the cash because they can sign out for a buttload of money. And it's like... But I would like if I could just get past the hypocrisy of all this shit and just say, you know, college football is big business and just pay these guys what they're making the freaking universities and the TV contracts.
I agree. You know what? To a certain degree, I totally agree that, you know, these college kids working their asses off and making all this money for the universities and TV, you know, you see them on TV all the time, you know, like Notre Dame, Ohio State, and all that stuff, Boise, you know, just, it's like, wow. And these kids, if they so much even are suspected of, like, signing an autograph and maybe getting a few bucks for it or something like that, they are just shit upon. And, you know, I mean, that just seems bizarre to
me. Like, I mean, why should the players be the ones that are shit upon when the whole system is rigged against them?
Well, right, it is.
And
it
everybody else is making millions of freaking dollars. I mean, the NCAA is making a whole. I mean, the NCAA wouldn't exist if this whole football playoff system didn't exist.
Right.
That's how they came into being, and that's why they freaking exist, is because of college football playoffs.
Right.
And I mean, to say that they can make all this freaking money and a player making $5 off a freaking signing a freaking autograph is, he's going to have his whole career ruined. I mean, it's like, who's the freaking asshole here?
Right, I know. Gosh, good point. Isn't that bizarre? Isn't that bizarre that some kid who's a quarterback, a major college football team signs an autograph and someone alleges he gets paid for it, whereas in retrospect, the entire college is making tons of money off of this same college quarterback or whatever, gets tons and tons of money. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's going to potentially ruin the rest of his potential career as a football player or as an athlete or, it's mind blowing. Something has to change with all that crap. I agree, 100%.
Well, then also think about a lot of the lower ranked Division I schools, maybe even the Division II schools where, somebody is a big player that, they're a big college player and maybe their college career is their big, their big freaking to-do in their life. And if they could make money as a standout, Division II college player, okay, so they make enough money as that to set them up for a decent life, but they never get drafted, or if they get drafted, they have a half a season at somebody, and they go to the freaking Canadian Football League. I mean, why not have that guy, make his big money as a freaking, standout quarterback for Kentucky State, or something, or
right.
Whatever. Because that one season when they're having a freaking great season because he's there, well, the school's going to make a whole shitload of money. Why the hell, why can't he get a piece of that?
Well, I agree. All right, man, I guess we're going to just wrap this up here tonight and move on. It's been fun. It's been a great show, and thanks for calling in, Mr. Snellman. And you know what? Baseball season's just about over. Are you ready to become like a football guy? Do you think that transition?
Well,
we need a football
guy. I can talk about college football, football
and
the Seahawks.
And maybe a little bit of NFL. You think you can get
that? I can talk trash about everybody that's, losing to the Seahawks every week, or...
Perfect. We might have to do a special transition from baseball guy after the... Well, the that's the bizarre thing. The baseball season blends right in with the NFL and college football. So there you go. You have to be a chameleon and be our, baseball / maybe NFL college football guy. What do you think about that?
we'll make it work. We'll make something work.
I hope so. And you know what? I hope to hang out with you sometime next year for the Dayton Dragons and maybe a Cincinnati Reds baseball game.
just so I can be a part of your official show, your official baseball show.
Well, we'll see if we can make that work.
Oh, we will. Oh, yeah. Definitely, definitely. Hey, man, thanks for hanging out, and thanks for calling, and thanks for being, you know, the
well,
cool guy you are, man, and thanks for being a champ. All right, I guess we're gonna
okay.
Like, officially, you know what? We're going to officially flush out. You know what? I'm going to flush us out with a little toilet flush.
Oh, God, the official flush.
The official flush. Here we go. Good night, Snellman.
Good night.